Good morning, everyone. We want to welcome you to the Lighthouse. We are so glad to see you this morning, and we hope you came to worship. Anyone here to worship today? Amen. Several things we want to make you aware of this week. We have two events going on. Tonight is the Coffee Shop Teen Chat. So if you are ages 13 to 23, you are invited to go to the coffee shop in Cary at 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., so make sure you get that on your calendars. And then also, this Thursday is Thanksgiving already. I don't know how that happens, but here we are. So we have our community Thanksgiving meal right here at the church starting at 12 p.m. That is open to everyone. So our church family, if you do not already have other plans, we would love to be your plans. So my husband and I and our family will be here. We make this our family Thanksgiving every year. So if you do not have plans, please come and join us. We would love to spend that time with you together. And then we have several other things coming up. I did make some flyers, and they're at the back welcome desk, because there's a lot going on in the month of December. So feel free to grab one of those and stick it on your fridge if you would like. So I'm going to go through these kind of quickly. But on December 2nd, there's a men's conference in Cygnet, Ohio. That's starting at 7:30 a.m., and there's more information on the flyer at the door, so all of you men can check that out. On December 8th, we are having a night of praise right here at the church. That's starting at 6:30 p.m., going all the way to midnight. How many of you love to stay up till midnight? Not me, so if you have to cut out early, that's okay. Come for what you can. That is December 8th. Also on December 10th, for all of my young adults ages 17 to 30, we are having our annual Christmas party, but this year we are having it at the church. So usually we have it at our home, but I'm afraid we're kind of outgrowing that space. So that's a good problem. So all of our young adults plan to be here at December 10th, right after morning service. We will have lunch and a gift exchange and some games, so that'll be a lot of fun. All of you parents who have young children ages 3, 4, and 5, we do have a community Christmas school right here in town, so there is a registration form at the welcome desk with more information if you are interested in that, and that takes place December 11th through the 15th. So again, don't forget to get the flyer, or you can check out our website, lighthousepcg.org, for all the details. And for my last announcement, I want to remind you we are doing Cards from Christ. So if you want to fill out some Christmas cards and bring them, put them in the box at the back. But on next Sunday night, we are going to have what we call a card signing party. So anyone who wants to come, we can bring some potluck food. We're going to have some Christmas music. And we will have lots of blank cards. So if you'd like to come and fill some out, that would be great. And that will be next Sunday at 6 p.m. And that's for all ages. So even if they're big enough to write or draw pictures, they can sign some Christmas cards too. So you can bring the whole family. And I do have a video I want to show about the Cards from Christ program. The guy who is in charge of that is Kent Money, and he has been doing this. The video says about 4 years, but that was a few years old, so about 7 or 8 years he's been doing this ministry. It's a powerful ministry, and so just check out this video, and then Brother Jesse will be coming up after the video.
Welcome back on this Monday. The holidays, always a time when people choose to give back. Well, thousands of people across Columbus are taking time out to write Christmas cards to complete strangers. NBC4's Danielle Grossman brings us the story from the Ross Correctional Facility.
People who are in jail are often overlooked population, but now they're getting noticed. And something as simple as a Christmas card is helping them with their road to redemption.
Hey, man. How you doing, buddy?
A visit from a stranger. Hand-delivered Christmas cards for the holidays.
Hey, man, Christmas card for you. Merry Christmas.
I've been incarcerated since I was 19. I'm 35 now.
I've been locked up since 2000.
These men have been cast away from society most of their lives.
Because I made a mistake, it doesn't judge me. It doesn't make me who I am.
But they're all turning their lives around, preparing for life outside of these walls, learning and growing.
People are thinking about you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
There you go, man.
I do community service in here, a lot of outreach programs.
This simple gift is showing them, despite their bad decisions and mistakes, they have not been forgotten.
You know, we can be having a down day, and then we get a call from a perfect stranger. It's like, oh, okay, somebody still sees me as human.
Kent Money started giving cards to inmates 4 years ago, and now he's collected enough cards to give to each inmate in the state of Ohio.
Got a bunch of people thinking about you.
There's men and women all over the state. They'll become your neighbors. So this is a time that we as a society can reach in at one time and touch, especially this time of year.
It will truly be a Christmas they will never forget.
That's awesome, man. Merry Christmas to you. Mean it.
We're very grateful. You know, I mean, it's just, it's excellent.
The 50,000 cards are going to be dispersed over the next few days, and Kent and the other pastors are going to make personal visits until Christmas Eve. Local 3 in Ross County, Danielle Grossman, NBC4.
Amen, church. Praise the Lord. Cards for Christ is such a great way to impact someone who needs to know that you care. And it's a simple way. Like Pastor Alicia said, was on the 26th, I believe. We've come out here for several years. You can bring your kids and just have a time of food and fellowship and know that you're ministering to people through this simple ministry. So I have a scripture I want to read here found in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. Before I read that, God has been stirring this word in my heart, and this word is relationship. And relationship is key to a healthy and accurate view of God. If we only know God through what someone else has told us about him, we don't truly know God. We know the God that someone else knows. So it's important for us to take hold of the importance of forming our own relationship with God. And isn't that amazing that it's even possible that we can form our own relationship with our Creator? Amen. It is amazing. So I want to encourage you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 says this: "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Caution here is that we can get caught up in the everyday monotony of life, including our walk with God. So it just becomes something that we just do because it's a part of our habit. We've created this pattern and we just do it every day. And it's good and it's important that we take time with God every day. But the caution is that it just becomes something that we do. The Spirit of God will always lead us to relationship with Him. So if we are led by the Spirit, we are always being led to a closer relationship with God. So when we walk in the Spirit, we are building relationship with Him. So I want to encourage you this week, ask God to point out things in you and me that are stopping the development of deeper relationship. So I want to say that again. Take time this week through this holiday season, and ask God to point things out in you and me that are stopping the development of deeper relationship. You'll be glad you did. So with that said, if you would stand with me, and we'll pray over our tithes and offerings. There are several ways to give. I'm sure those are going to pop up on the screen here in a minute. But let's just pray before we worship. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, God, and we thank you that you are a loving and a gentle God. Lord, I just pray that you would bless these tithes, bless these offerings, God. Use them to further your kingdom for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life. Of these precious how we made the lane to walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold, be strong.
Be strong.
For the Lord thy God is with thee.
I am not afraid. I am not dismayed. For I am walking in faith and victory. Come on and walk in faith and victory.
For the Lord.
Lord,
thy God is with thee.
Hold on me.
the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praise and roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, Jesus is alive. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Hope will arise. Death is defeated.
to God and ask Him to show us. God, how can we draw closer to You? He'll do it. He is faithful and He is good. And let's sing that chorus one more time, because He is for us and He knows what we need, everything that we need. He knows better than we do. So if we come before Him with open hearts and say, God, show me, teach me, Lord, work through me, Father, that is our best life, church. Sing one more song, Jesus, the lover of my soul.
I will never let you go.
closest friend. I will worship you until the very end. And I love you. And I need you. And though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Give him your praise this morning. Come on. Open your mouths. Tell him how much you love him, how much you appreciate him. Give him thanks for getting you here this morning, for getting you through last week when it didn't seem like you were going to get through last week. Give him thanks for all the blessings you received last week and the good things that happened. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus, for you are great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will praise you in the sanctuary. We will praise you from the rooftops. We will praise you in the streets. We will praise you in our workplaces. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. You're great, O God. You are great, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's not be in a hurry this morning, church. Let's give God the praise he deserves. That's why we come together and sing songs. That's why we start the service the way we do, giving in an offering of praise monetarily, giving in an offering of praise from our songs, raising our hands as praise unto him. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. We need to give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, push in, press in and praise him this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. You're the great God, the Lord God Jehovah, the I Am God. We serve you. We praise you. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I ask God that you would bring clarity right now to their minds and their hearts.
Hallelujah.
God, that they would realize that this
thank
is
you,
God, that you are real.
Hallelujah.
In the
hallelujah.
Name of Jesus.
Thank
in the name
you,
of Jesus.
Jesus.
Set people free
thank
right
you,
now.
Jesus.
I hallelujah. Bind it. I hallelujah. Command it to go in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for peace that passes our understanding. You've given us in our hearts and our minds right now. We receive your perfect peace right now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you glory, we give you praise, we give you honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're worthy of praise, Lord. Be exalted in our hearts, be exalted in our minds, God. Let us see you, God. Hallelujah. Let us see you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you praise. Father, we thank you that you've given us the ability to speak to you through our prayers, through our worship, through our praise. God, we're so grateful that we have a relationship with you and we can talk to you and you speak to us through your word. As we develop that relationship with you and the study of your word, we come to understand and know you. And then, God, there are intimate times where we just know that it's you that are showing us things. And however you do that to each individual, God, we are grateful for how you speak to us. Not just that we can speak to you, but you speak to us. And Father, I pray that at this set time that we have appointed to come together and meet with you, not just with each other, but with you, God, that you would speak to us. That we would hear you clearly. That you would strengthen and encourage your people. That you, God, would move and deliver, that if there are those here that don't know you, they would come to know you. That if there are those here that are going through trials, that they would be strengthened. That if there are those here that are being oppressed by the devil, they would be set free. That if there are those here that are sick, they would be healed, God. Now, Father, you also see the people that are here that are carrying burdens for others. And you know these people that are on our hearts. God, we lift them up to you right now. We place them in your hands. Every prayer request, every need, every person, every individual, we give them to you right now, God, for you are a good God. You are a gracious God. You are almighty God. And you are able to do more than we can even think or imagine, God. You are able to exceed those things, Lord. And you spoke that word to us last week. And we stand firm in our faith in Jesus Christ and know that you are exceeding our expectations. So therefore, we take the confines of our requests off. We take you out of the box that we've placed you in, God. God, we know that you are able to move outside of time or space. So God, we put our faith and trust in you. We believe in you, Lord Jesus. So we turn these requests, these burdens, we turn them over to you right now, Father. And we are grateful that you are hearing them and you are answering them, for your word says you will. Your word says you do. And we stand upon the promises of your word this morning. More than all of these things, Lord, I'm thankful that when we bring these supplications to you with thanksgiving, that God, it is our opportunity to grow in relationship with you, to get to know you. And God, I'm so grateful that above all of these things in prayer, we get to come to just know you, to know your character, to know your personality, to know your holiness and righteousness and your goodness, Lord. Father, I pray that as your people, you would help us to begin to reflect who you are in our lives. Let people see Jesus in us, in all that we do or say, and everything that we're taking part of. Let people see Jesus in us. Let your light shine through us, Lord, I pray right now. Give us strength. Help us to understand you've given us peace, so we walk in your peace. We walk in your love. We walk in your joy. We proclaim it right now in the name of Jesus. And we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Why don't you just lift your hands and receive it right now? Give God thanks. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in our midst right now. We thank you for your holiness that's here. We thank you for your righteousness that's here. We thank you for your great presence that you're manifesting in hearts and minds right now, Father. We give you the glory and the praise and the honor. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 God is good. Amen. All the time, and all the time, God is good. Amen. Today we celebrate what God has done last week And many of you weren't here, so I wanted to share with you. Last week, we talked about this and we prayed in our 10 o'clock service for the launching and first fully Hispanic service that we held. We held that last week. And I have a great report. Not a report of how many people turned out, which was a good turnout. Not a report of how good the service went, which it was a great service. But the great report is that people came and received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We had 20 people respond, come forward, pray the sinner's prayer. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God for what God is doing. I believe that that's the first fruits of what we're going to see take place as we continue to reach out. This church, our heart, and I'm going to say this to you over and over and over until you get it. So if you're tired of listening to me say it, then get it. You know, people always want to blame the preacher for saying the same things over and over all the time. Maybe it's the people who aren't listening. Amen, Pastor Joe. That's a good word, Pastor Joe. We are one church working together, reaching souls. We don't see numbers. This church has never seen numbers. We don't care about numbers. When we start caring about numbers, then we start caring too much about programs and how good we look to the outside world. I don't want the world to applaud me. I want heaven to stand and applaud this church because we're doing the kingdom work. Amen? And we're going to continue to do that. And so I believe that that's just first fruits of that area, but we're believing that God is just using this church to reach this region. I want you to understand that some of you have been praying for your city. That's great. I want to challenge you, stretch your faith, and start praying for the region we live in. The region we live in. We make a bigger impact when we think bigger and believe in a bigger God. He's bigger than what you think He is. He's greater than what you think He is. And God wants us to take limitations off of Him. And so we celebrate. We celebrate in our hearts, we celebrate in our minds, and we celebrate with heaven. That eternity has been impacted. Eternity. You can't fathom that. You can lie to me and say you do, but you can't. Eternity has been impacted. People were on their way to eternal destruction, but Jesus Christ showed up. And because Jesus was preached in their hearing, and they were given the opportunity to receive Jesus, they literally repented, which means turned from the direction of destruction they were going around to follow Jesus Christ. And now they are on a road destined to eternity in heaven with God Himself. That's something to celebrate. That's something to celebrate. And me and Pastor Darius and Pastor Dunia and Pastor Alicia, we'll celebrate over one. 20, man, that's just unbelievable at times, right? But one soul, doesn't matter. And I want to challenge you to start believing for one soul that you can reach. One soul that you can impact for eternity, amen? One soul that God's going to put in your place and in your path and in your footsteps so that you can reach, because God is doing a great work. Stop listening to Fox News, CNN, ABC, CBS, EFG, HIJK, LMNOP. Stop listening to all the news reports of how terrible everything is. Because whether they realize it or not, they're propagating the gospel of the kingdom of darkness. They're telling you what they're seeing happen in the world. And they're not, I'm not saying that they're the devil. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying they're propagating the message
of the kingdom of darkness, which is doom and gloom and despair. But we are those who carry the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, right? The good news of Jesus Christ. We don't carry the message of the kingdom of darkness. We carry the message of the kingdom of light. And so we need to make sure that we're focusing and honing in on what God is doing in our generation. Amen? Well, that's my first little sermon for you this morning, okay? Praise the Lord. I'm celebrating, and I'll celebrate without you. Ain't nothing going to stop me from celebrating what God's doing in people's lives. Amen? And you should have the same feeling. God is good. God is good. And all the time. Amen. All the time, God is good. And we're going to continue to see Him move. And so I just wanted to share that report with you that God is moving. We're going to have another service today at 3 o'clock. Did I get the time right? 3 o'clock. I feel like as the older I get, I'm becoming more and more like Peter. Now, I know when Jesus prophesied this to him, he was talking about his death and the foretelling of his death. And I'm not saying that at all. I'm not planning on being martyred. Okay. If that's what I have to do, that's what I have to do. But that's not my plan. All right. But you know how he says, you know, when you get older, there'll be someone who will tell you where to go and when to go and when to put your shoes on and when to get dressed and all that. Well, the older I get, the more I feel that way, right? Like, oh, it's time to leave now? Okay, I'm leaving. Oh, it's time to get up now? Okay, I'm getting up now, right? And so sometimes I lose track of when stuff is. I'm just like, oh, it's time to go to the Hispanic service now? Let's go to the Hispanic service. Oh, it's time to go to the coffee shop tonight? Okay, let's go to the coffee shop tonight, right? How many of you ever feel that way? You understand what I'm saying? But how many know that we do these things because we're reaching people, souls, individual people. And that's why we continue to do them, and we're believing God for a great harvest. Amen? Amen. So we just praise God. I want you to continue to pray. We've already prayed this morning, but we want you to continue to pray for those prayer requests. There's lots of things going on, lots of things taking place. Some people who have been ill and in and out of the hospitals, and we've been praying for them, and we're believing God. We're seeing God move. Sister Pam, it's good to see you with us this morning. Praise God that God moved in that situation. So we want to keep you in mind and remind you to do those things. Amen. Well, this time we're going to release our students to go to their classes, our teen classes this morning. We have our Firehouse Kids this morning. We want them to go and learn about Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 How many of you are excited that we are on the precipice, right on the verge of the holiday season? Hallelujah. We got one witness. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Hey, we got another one. Praise the Lord. Holiday, or the holy days, as I like to call them, are celebrated in recognition of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And some of you, as soon as I said that, your mind went to Christmas. And I'm going to lovingly rebuke you. Let us first remember to be thankful. Amen. Let us never forget to be thankful. And Thanksgiving is this Thursday. Am I right? This Thursday. This Thursday is Thanksgiving. We are having our community dinner. Please come out and join us if you don't already have a family thing going on. And if you want to, you can change your family plans and say, hey, we're not meeting at my house. We're not meeting at this place. We're coming out to the church and we're going to all meet together. You're welcome to do that. And we love celebrating with you. But I think it is so telling of the situation and the state of our world when we go places and we want to skip over what's going to take place on Thursday because we're trying to get to the Christmas season. Now, I'm not Ebenezer Scrooge, and I'm not the Grinch, all right? I love Christmas. I do. I love Christmas. I love celebrating Christmas. Somebody asked me what my favorite holiday is, and I said, you know, it's tough for me because I love Easter and I love Christmas, but I really love Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. And so this is coming from my perspective to you. I understand I'm biased. All right, I'm biased because I love Thanksgiving. But I think that it's reflective of our culture, not only in America, but around the world. And I know that around the world, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. That's a holiday that Americans celebrate. But you can see that across how people react and respond and what they do, you can see whether they're grateful or thankful or whether they feel entitled. And when we become entitled, we lose our thanksgiving. We don't have to be thankful. We don't have to be grateful because that's owed to me. I deserve to have this. And if I don't have this, then I'm upset and I'm mad and I'm going to make sure I get it. And this is something that we're seeing across the landscape of our societies. And I think it's important that we slow down. That's why you will always see me, when we come around this year, talk about and preach about the Thanksgiving. Because it is vitally important that we remind ourselves to be grateful and thankful unto God. Amen? And so this morning I'm going to share some things with you that God started stirring in my heart when it comes to Thanksgiving. And it's interesting, a lot of times, you know, I just go to the scriptures that God, you know, reminds us to be thankful and all things give thanks. And we're going to deal with some of that this morning. But this year, God turned my attention back to the pilgrims. And he started talking to me about the impact that the pilgrims had, not only on their generation, but I want you to think about this for a minute. The pilgrims have impacted a nation. A nation. The First Amendment in our Bill of Rights, in our Constitution, gives us the freedom of worship, that we can assemble together as we so choose. And how we so choose, we can come together and worship freely without the impact of our government coming and dictating to us how that's supposed to look. Why is that? Well, you know, our forefathers found it important. Yes, they did find it important. Why did they find it important? And I think sometimes we've forgotten this. That we came from a country that had its own church, the Church of England. And the Church of England dictated to the people of England how they could worship and what they could do and how their services looked and what they could preach and not preach and what they could say and all of these things. And so the pilgrims began to feel like God was directing them in a different way to gather together and worship in a different way than the Church of England. And you know, I'm just going to say this to you, if you study it out, I personally have a problem with this because of what Scripture teaches us. Scripture teaches us that Jesus is the head of the church. Can I get a witness this morning? Yes. Jesus is the head of the church. So, and I think that they've changed some things in their church, but for a long time, the head of the Church of England was the king or the queen. I have a problem with that because Jesus is the head of the church. And so because King James, which many of us are grateful for one thing that King James developed, which was an English translation that all of the world received, right? The King James Version. We're grateful for that. And we're thankful for that, that he did that. Even though his motives were wrong, right? Romans 8:28, right? What the devil means for evil, he will turn for our good and for God's glory. And so we're thankful for that, but he began to oppress his people. And the pilgrims were looking for a place of freedom of worship. And the truth is they actually went to Holland first before they came to the Americas. They went to Holland seeking, but they said that they couldn't find what they were looking for there. They were gracious people. People loved them. They had the freedom of assembly, but it just never worked out. And so as they were going through this process, they began to look for a place that they could make their own, that they could have the freedom to worship God as they thought God was directing them. And they came to a new land called the Americas. And what you have to understand is them doing this, making this pilgrimage, that's why they were called the pilgrims. They left the place where they were and they went to where they felt like God was directing them. They set a precedent in this nation that when this people became its own nation, there was already this idea that there shouldn't be a national church, but that the church belongs to God himself. Listen to me. The church is outside of politics. The church is outside of kings and queens. The church is outside of any of these things because those all work in the realm of the physical world, but the church works in the realm of the kingdom of God, which is spiritual and physical. Amen? And so they came looking and they found a land and they settled here in Plymouth Rock. And many of you know the story. If you don't, you need to study it. And if you do, you need to remind yourself, if you know the story, remind yourself of these things that took place and what we are celebrating. Because what we are really celebrating is the fact that they made it through hard winter, that even some of them died and some of them were not well, and all these crazy things happened to them as they're trying to go through this process, just simply finding a place where they can settle and call their home so that they can worship God freely. That was the main thought, the main idea. And God brought them through it, and they were able to grow, and this was something they were looking for. That's why one reason why they left Holland is they couldn't buy their own fields and farm their own land and grow their own crops. They were working in textile mills and things like that, and they just weren't happy there, and they knew that they wanted to get back to the earth and to the ground and grow crops and things. And so they come and they've been through hard times, and God blessed them with a bountiful harvest. And what they did to celebrate that was they threw a party. And they invited even the people who didn't look like them, who didn't worship like them, they invited them to come and be a part of it because they wanted to celebrate what God did and give him thanks. So despite what people will tell you, even though it's an American holiday, it's actually a holy day that Christians celebrate. It's a godly thing. Just like Christmas is, just like Easter is, or the Resurrection Sunday. And the impact that Jesus Christ has had on the world is shown in these holidays. And that's why I think it's important that as a church, we stop and reflect upon them and make them known and talk about them and celebrate them. Can I get a witness this morning? Amen. So we're going to do that. That's like my little introduction. And so you know where we are going. And this morning I want to preach to you about the first pilgrim. The first pilgrim. And you'll find here in Genesis chapter 12, we're just going to read two verses here, what God began to do. Because you see, there are different times and seasons where God will call people out to separate them from where they are so that he can speak to them, so that he can, through them, begin to share a message of his grace and of his goodness to the world. And that is why God called this first pilgrim out. And the Bible says this, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go," everybody say go, "from your country and..."
your name great so that you will be a blessing. This is the word of God, the promise of God that came to Abram or Abraham, who he eventually became. And God says to him, I want you to do something crazy. I'm going to put this in 2023 translation, okay? I want you to do something crazy. I want you to do something that's unheard of. You see, you have to understand that up until this point, they were a tribal people. And even people who were nomadic and moved around because they were shepherds and looked over flocks, they still were a tribal people, and they never separated from their tribe. They stayed together with their people. And really, nations, if you go back in history and look throughout the Bible, the names of nations and the names of countries come after fathers who built families. And that's why they're called this. That's why we have the land of Canaan, because it's the people of Canaan, that it was his descendants that populated that area. And so you have to understand this, that this was a people group that stayed together, and they might have intermarried from other people groups, but they would pull them in and they would build their families, and that's how they became these nations. And so this was different when God comes to Abram and says, I want you to leave the country where you are. I want you to leave that. I want you to leave the people that you know, your family, and I want you to even leave your father. This is a strange thing that God's saying. Now, I know it's not as strange for our culture, because we have people who leave and go and all of that now, and that's just part of what we have become. But you have to understand at this point, this was different for Abram to hear this. And he's saying this because he's saying, I'm going to make you, I'm separating you from your father and from your household and from your family, because out of you, I'm going to create a great nation. So that was language that Abraham understood. Oh, okay, I've seen you do this with other families. I've seen them grow and become great. And so therefore, you're saying you're going to do this in me, God. But I want you to see something, and this is one of the pieces that you need to get this morning, and you probably need to write this down in this message that God's giving us, is that before you can ever see the promise, you must first have obedience. And so God tells Abram to leave, to go. Leave everybody you know, leave the area you're familiar with, leave your family behind. There's a command there. And Abram must obey that command. If he doesn't obey the command, then the second part cannot happen. Because he says here, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So for him to be able to see the fulfillment of that, Abraham had to first step out and obey. Now we have this in the Word of God. We have this message here with us because Abram did obey. He did. He actually did it. He left everything he knew. He left the people he knew. He left his family behind. And he sojourned to a land that God would show him. Now this is what I love about this. How many of you are ready to pack up the necessities? Not everything you know, own. Not everything. Just what you need. And take you and your wife. Now remember, they didn't have kids yet. Pack up what you need. Get in your car and start driving. Well, where are we going? The land that God's going to show us. Now, this is no slight on my wife, but she's a planner.
So if I tell her to pack her things up and get in the car and only take what you need, which she's pretty decent at that. I know some of you ladies aren't very good at that. And some of you husbands would have had to go, oh, nope, we don't need that. And we don't need that. Come on, guys, amen me here. But if I told her we're leaving, her first question would be, where are we going? And if my response was, to the land the Lord will show us, she would be, and where's that? Well, we're going to drive there. How do we get there? I don't know. How do we know when we're there? I don't know. We're just going to leave and we're going to go. Why are we doing this? Well, because I have a promise from God that if I do this, God's going to do this for me. He said that he will make me a great nation and he will bless me and so that I can be a blessing to others. Well, that's great, Abram, but you don't even know where this place is. So how will you know when you get there? You see, you have to understand that what we want to do in 2023 is we want to put faith in the process of what God tells us to do and not put faith in the person who told us to do it. Amen. So as long as we have the whole process laid out before us, as long as we understand all the details and what it entails to get where we're going, then we want to go because we want the promise. We want to see the promise happen. We want to see that take place in our lives. And so we're holding on to that and we want to believe in the process so that we can get to the promise. But as a pilgrim, that means that you're a stranger in a strange land. That there are no guarantees for you. There are no promises for you. Matter of fact, you may even feel at times like you are wandering around aimlessly. And you cannot put faith in what you're doing. You must put faith in the one that told you to do it. See, Romans chapter 4. Let's go to the New Testament here. Romans chapter 4. Verses 1 through 3 says this. What then shall we say? Lay that story out for you. You need to go back to the Genesis and you need to read all through that, okay? So, what was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? What did he do in the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by work, the process, then Abraham can boast about what he has done. But he can't talk about what God's done because God hasn't done anything. So then we hear this. For what does the scripture say? It wasn't that Abraham left his family and left his homeland and left his father that made him righteous. I mean, we can get mad at each other and do that. That'll make us righteous. Not even close. It was the fact that when God said something, he believed it. God said something and he believed it. And because he had that faith in the person who said it, then he received the righteousness of God in his life. So let's fast forward to the New Testament now that we have Jesus Christ. This is why we cannot make it about works and what we do in church that saves us. It's not about our process. It's not about our plans. It's not about how we organize and structure. And while all those things are good and needful, because if we don't have them, you get a group of people together, it's chaos if you don't have those things, right? But that's not what saves us. Listen, it's not the eloquence, did I say that word right? Eloquence of my preaching. I can't hardly say the word. It's not the power of what I come up with in my mind or anyone else that stands behind this pulpit that changes people. It's not because I'm a good influencer. How many have heard that word? These influencers are out there influencing people. And all those influencers do is influence people to follow them and give them their money. Pretty good deal. I get to sit at home in front of my computer and make a bunch of videos and post them on YouTube. I don't have to get a real job. And I convince people to pay me because they think I'm an influencer. I'm not knocking everybody that does that. I'm just saying, this is the culture that we live in. It's not about that, church. It's not about that we're trying to become the greatest influencers in this region so we can be the greatest church in this region. Are you kidding me? I quit if that's what we're doing. I'm done. What we are here to do is give people Jesus Christ. And when they put their faith in Jesus, not our processes, not how good we can do things, not how great this church flows and blah, 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 blah. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the man who gives us the word because he is the word, when that happens, then our lives are transformed and changed and we receive the righteousness of God. What the Bible say? Through Christ Jesus. This is what it's about. It's about having faith in the one who speaks the word, not faith in what the word was. Because how many of you know that depending on your situation, depending on what's happening, depending on what generation you are in, God may say something different to you than he said to the previous generation. I've preached that before, right? Abraham, he told go. His son Isaac, he told him to stay. Isaac wanted to go because that's what he saw his dad do. Time get tough. Things are going bad. We have a famine in the land. Well, I need to go to another land. No, 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 Isaac. I told your dad to go because I told him wherever he would go and wherever his feet would step, I would give to him for his nation and for his family, and he would possess those things. But you now are supposed to be the possessor. You're supposed to stay there. It's the same word from God, but it's for a different season now. You following me? I'm not saying we change the word. I'm saying we got to have wisdom and know what God is speaking to us in the season we're living in. We must hear from God. And so while methods will change, methodology should be constantly changing. This is our problem with the church world and why we become so religious. Because we get hung up on the methods more than the message. Yeah. Yeah. Now listen, I am a full-blooded, tongue-talking, aisle-running, devil-chasing Pentecostal boy. It's just what I am. It's the culture that I was raised in. It's been ingrained in me. I understand those methods. You can smack me with some oil, shake my head, spit all over me and speak in tongues, and I will feel the blessings of God while you're doing it. But not everybody understands that method. That's not God. That's the method. So if I go up somebody who's never been in that culture before and I slap oil on their forehead where it's dripping down their face and I start shaking their head and I'm praying in tongues to the point I'm spitting all over them, they're going, what is this person doing? What is going on here? And despite all of my good efforts, I am being a distraction to them from what God is trying to speak to them because I'm more concerned with the method than the message. That's why I must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'll get down with you. You want to go Pentecostal style? You better believe it. But I will also stand quietly with you. You don't want me to touch you? I don't got to touch you. Ain't about me touching you. It's about us touching heaven. Amen. We're just two of us coming in agreement, touching any one thing, not touching each other, touching any one thing. It shall be done. Yeah. We can stand together and pray together in silence. We just need to use our faith. Amen. You hearing me? You seeing what I'm trying to lay down for you now? The process. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. And before Jesus came, Abraham was the forerunner of these things. He was the first pilgrim to come and say, I'm leaving everything that I know. I'm leaving all the methods behind me because now I'm going to listen to what God says to me. Where are we going? I don't know where we're going. The land that God will show us because he's going to give it to us. Well, where is this land? He said, head north. I'm headed north. Then he says, turn to the west. I'm turning to the west. Then he says, head back north again. I head north again. Now he says, turn to the east. I turn to the east. It's that simple. But why did God have you head north, then turn west, then go north again, and then go east? What's it matter? It's what God said. It's what God said. Why did the pilgrims go to Holland first? I don't know. It's what they felt God said in their heart. They couldn't hardly get out. They kept getting arrested every time they tried to leave. Every time they tried to leave England, they would get arrested. And their leaders would get thrown in prison for a long time. And all of their money and all their supplies that they had gathered and set up so they could go to a land so they could worship God freely would be stolen from them. And what they would do is they would start all over again. They would be released from prison. They would find some people who would keep them. They would start working again. They would gain money again. And so then they're like, well, you know what? Let's go to Holland. Let's see if we can set something up there. They did. And God supplied for them. And God made it so that they could get provisions for themselves. And they realized this is not the place that God wants us to stay. And so then they came to this new land. It was all about them trusting in God through the process. Everyone say process. You see, too often we think it's all about the end goal when it's not. Actually, it usually has nothing to do with the end goal. It has everything to do with the process because it's through the process of time that we can build relationship and we get to know one another. Isn't it cool how God's bringing this whole service together? It is through the process that we grow together and we grow with God. But that process must be based upon faith and not what we think we're supposed to do. Because those things can change at a moment. How many of you that understand how the Spirit speaks to you have ever been on your way to go do something? You're taking your normal route, you're driving there, and all of a sudden, you know it was God. He speaks to you and he says, no, turn down this road and go a different way. How many of you have ever had that happen to you before? Well, bless God, that's not the process that I take. Is your faith in the process or is your faith in the person? Now, how many of you, don't raise your hand for this one, didn't listen and ran into some trouble? Ran into something that you're like, oh my goodness, this is why God was saying go this way. I'll never forget the story my dad used to tell. We'll tell it on him because he's with Jesus now and everything's okay. He was coming home from work. He worked in Findlay. He was coming home from work and we lived in an apartment complex on Frederick Street at that time. And the Holy Spirit told him, he said, come down this road here and go out to the church. Go out to your, we used to have a big parsonage here. My grandma and grandpa were pastors at that time, and they lived in that parsonage, and some of you remember that big old white house that we had out here, and that's where grandma and grandpa were living, and he heard God speak to him, the Holy Spirit tell him, go to mom and dad's. And my dad goes, I don't want to go to mom and dad's. I'm tired. Just got off my shift. I want to go home. Go to mom and dad's. Well, he passes the road because he wants to go home. He goes home and finds out there's a note from his wife. Hey, meet me out at mom and dad's. We took a bike ride, me and the kids, and we're out there. God was trying to save him time. What he ended up doing is creating more irritability in his life because he didn't listen. Because he was more concerned about the process that he wanted to do instead of what God was telling him to do. That's just a simple illustration, but it's so true, isn't it? And so, listen to me. Some of you are in this journey right now, and God's speaking to you to go somewhere and do something that's unheard of, it's unseen, it's foreign to you. It's foreign to you. You don't understand why. And many times we reach, and this could be at any age, and you could have been saved for 50 years, but God might be saying something to you to do something different than you've ever done before, and that's scary. You need to, by faith, trust the process that he's saying and not have faith in your process that you've already established. You just trust God and go with him. But then there are some other things that happen. So let me just say this to you, okay? Check this out. God tells Abram that he's going to become a great nation. Abram understands that in the context of that, that means that God's going to give him a family. Remember what I told you. That's how nations were developed then. So Abram's going to become the father, Abraham. He becomes Abraham, right? Abraham's going to become the father, and God's going to grow this great nation from him. Now, in the carnal, fleshly mind, we would think, okay, him and Sarah are going to start having some babies. And they're going to have baby after baby after baby, and then these babies are going to grow, and they're going to get married and have baby after baby after baby, and there's just going to be this great nation, right? I mean, that's the context of what we think. And that's probably how they were thinking. I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but in different responses we can derive from Scripture that they were probably thinking this. And so, remember what I told you. For us to see the promises come to pass, we must first obey. Obedience always comes before the promise. Always. Even when it doesn't make sense. So here you have a couple who obeyed. They obeyed God. They left their homeland, they left their family, they left their father, and they're wandering around in this wilderness place. And God is simply saying to them, everywhere they go, it's theirs. Who's he leaving it to? Who's he leaving this thing to? You say that you're going to bless me and we're going to be a great nation, but I have no person to leave this to. Because I have not seen the promise fulfilled completely that you said would come to pass. Because matter of fact, after that, if you read the story, God kept saying more things to them. And at one point, he even says, you're going to have a son. And they even try to do it their own way, and they get it all messed up. They get it all messed up. And you know what God does? God says, well, I'm going to have to start over again, find somebody else. That didn't work. Is that what God says? No. What does God say? God says, okay, I will bless you and make you many nations. I'll make you the father of many nations.